Well, happy Sunday, everybody, and Sunday worship, of course, on the radio dial today. It's sermon time, and today I'm still at home recuperating from a procedure that I had in the hospital just a few days ago. I'm hoping to be back with you next Sunday, but for today, we're going to have a best of sermon. This is a message that I preached about a year ago. In fact, I preached it in May of 2020. It's a message that I have entitled, Guard Your Heart. There is nothing more important in our Christian lives in this evil day in which we live than for us as Christians to guard our heart. Sin is everywhere, and it will take you down if you don't watch what you watch. That's true. Let's take a listen to this message from a year ago. Guard your heart. This is Sunday Worship. Well, we're going to be in Proverbs today. If you want to take your Bibles and look along with us, Proverbs chapter 4, we'll start at verse 23. We're going to take one or two verses at a time and go through verse 26. We'll start with verse 23, Proverbs 4, verse 23, and be sure to keep your Bibles open because we'll come back to that as we go along today. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, admonishes us that we should guard our hearts. And the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, tells us how to do it. Verse 23 says, Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. One thing I've learned as I've studied computers and radio automation through the years, as well as audio production and how it all works, is that a computer does not have the ability to create anything new. It can manipulate what you put in it. It can change things. But it has to have the basic information put into it. A computer can, at lightning speed, manage and sort massive amounts of data in mere seconds that if we did it in our human abilities, it could take days, weeks, or even months to do the same job that a computer can do in just a few seconds. In the world of computers, we have two main considerations. We call it the input and the output. Well, it's pretty much just what it sounds like. The input is what we put into the computer. It's the data we put in. It's the directions about what to do with that data. We call it a program. Or we put in some kind of other caveat that tells the computer what to do when we tell it to do a certain thing. When you type a command in, the computer responds and does it. It's really that simple. Well, the output is what the computer comes up with at the end of the process. If you tell a computer to add 2 plus 2, it has the 2 and the 2 inside the computer, and it has a mathematical ability to add 2 plus 2 because, as I said, it can manipulate data, but it can't create it. It wouldn't know a 2 if you didn't tell it what it was. But then the output, when it comes out of the computer, it tells you the answer is 4. And that's a simple explanation of how a computer works. Well, you know, the human mind is a lot like a computer. We've been called a computer many times. The human mind has a lot of ability to process information. But you know, just like a regular computer, we can't really create anything on our own. You know, man says he's creating when he clones another human being, but he's not creating. He is simply manipulating God's creation. We talk about we've created something with our hands or an artwork or a creation of ours that we have made, but actually what we've done is taken the raw materials that God gave and the ability He gave us to do it and done something with that. We've used the gift God has given to us. Well, you know, the human heart is, and I'm not talking about the vessel that pumps blood, I'm talking about the heart of man. Where our soul is. I call it the living room of the mind. A heart, as the scriptures refer to it, in the heart of the matter, or in your heart, when Christ speaks to you into your heart. We're talking about the living room, where you live. That's where it jumps off the pages and comes in for a visit. A human heart does a whole lot of the same kind of thing that the mind does. It's not all by imagination. A human heart will take what we put into it and disseminate it into our worldview. And that's a whole nother story of what a worldview is. It's basically a set of values and ideas that we have put to use to define the world we live in. In other words, We can say the sky is blue and the grass is green. That's part of our worldview. Everything that we use to define our world is a worldview. So our heart can take information we find, such as laughter and joy or hurt and pain, and then we can apply it to our worldview. Our worldview says, if you know Christ, you know that God's at the center. You know there's hope in a tragedy. But if he's not at the center and you apply that same kind of hurt, there is no hope and there is no help and life becomes helpless. And so many people at some point in their lives make bad decisions based on hurt and things that come. And a lot of that, not all of it, but a lot of it has to do with the fact that our worldview is distorted. If our worldview is accurate, and we know that God is the creator of mankind and the sustainer of mankind, and we can depend upon him, then we can make better decisions. Now, there is a such thing as depression, and we're not talking about depression today. Again, that's a whole different topic. There is some depression that's caused by physical reasons, not mental. It is not always a spiritual problem that creates depression. I'm not a depressed person, but I've fought with depression because of heart problems. If you study heart problems, especially to the magnitude of heart problems that I had a number of years ago, you understand quickly that depression goes not only with the heart problem, but with the drugs they give you to deal with it. And so it's a physiological thing, and so that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about today is day-to-day decisions, day-to-day input, day-to-day things that we all see and experience all throughout our day. And if our worldview is correct, then you can see it's really a help. But if it's not, then we're in trouble. Now, you know, if you watch something on television that's completely absurd or completely unbelievable, and I'm going to put science fiction into that category, because we watch science fiction and we understand very quickly that man cannot actually fly through outer space at speeds greater than the speed of light. A person cannot really become invisible to everybody else. That's what we call science fiction. And there's a reason we call it fiction, because fiction is not reality. And we call it science fiction because it's based on science, even though it's distorted. But you know, if we watch a documentary, let's say we watch something on the History Channel about some part of history, such as the sinking of the Titanic in 1912. I don't know about you, but I get riveted to the screen when I study about that terrible tragedy. All those hundreds of people, over 1,000 people who died on that ship. And you know, when it's over, we usually have a better understanding of what the fact is concerning the sinking. Sometimes we know there are theories involved that are not proven, and sometimes we know that there is inaccurate information about the sinking that we had thought previously. For example, we always thought that the ship went down in one piece, but it actually did break in half as the people, the witnesses, watched it in the night as it broke in half and sunk bow first and stern last. And we know that now because we have gone down to the bottom of the ocean in machinery designed to go 2 miles deep in the Atlantic, and we've actually filmed the wreckage of the Titanic, and it's in two parts, separated by a good distance. So the documentary has brought some things to life that are fact, and that's the difference between things in the world. Some things are fiction and some things are fact. And the fact is, and this is a fact, that your worldview will help you determine which is fiction and which is fact. If you get those two confused, then all of a sudden, everything in your life gets messed up. I remember when I was a kid, I went to see Mary Poppins. I'm giving my age away now. And we saw Mary Poppins, and I thought it was the most incredible thing in the world that a woman could fly on an umbrella. And I remember as a 8-year-old kid climbing up on the back of my dad's garage and going over to the low side, which was actually about 6 feet off the ground. I was not quite stupid enough to go to the high side where it was 12 feet off the ground. But there with my mother's umbrella, I jumped off there and fully expected to fly. And of course, I flew straight to the ground, and it was not pleasant when I landed. You know, the jumping was fun, but landing was tough. And I was blessed I didn't break a bone, but I did get all skin up and I hurt myself. And I realized what science fiction was. It was a hard lesson to learn for a youngster. to learn that some things you see on the screen are just not true. They're fiction. And that's what Mary Poppins was all about. It's a fiction. And so in life, we do much of the same. We learn what truth is and what fact is based on our knowledge of the world. And so your worldview is important. If your worldview is messed up, you will get messed up because you will confuse fact and fiction. And depending on which is which and which one you end up doing, we'll tell you where you end up at the end of that little scenario. So what happens if we're watching something called a documentary, say on television, that contains a bunch of lies? Someone has deliberately put together a documentary with the express purpose of proving a point that's not true. You know, there's a lot of that going on out there nowadays. In fact, history and history books that our kids are studying from in public schools have been edited. They've edited out Christian influence, and they've added in influences from homosexuals. They have removed a lot of things about slavery because they don't even want to talk about it. They just want to point fingers at how bad it was, and it was a horrible thing. But instead of talking about some of the good and trying to find the good in it, it's been relabeled to become more politically correct and to cause our people to be less influenced by such things as the Bible. And so a documentary that has been changed or altered so that the truth of that documentary no longer is truth, but actually is a blatant lie presented as the truth, is not fiction. It's not fiction at all. It's not something to laugh about. It's not something we call stupid. There's a better word for that. It's diabolical. It has a purpose of distorting our facts and distorting our minds and distorting and changing our lives. A former president of the United States a few years ago made the statement that one thing he was going to do while he was in office was to, quote, fundamentally change the United States of America. He meant he was going to change it to a socialist country. America never has been a socialist country. Socialism does not work. But yet he said he was going to. At least he was honest about that. But so many things in government today are just what I'm talking about, like that faked documentary. And so when you start off a science book based on evolution and the Big Bang theory, that is no longer a science book. It's a book of theories. And it's a book that's based on lies. And so when you start off with the Bible, you start off with the truth. And when you start off with the truth and you stay with the truth, you end with the truth and your worldview is built on the truth. You get the picture? Well, I said all of that as a way to let you know how important it is that we do something that the Bible talked about in verse 23. We should protect our hearts. Another way to say that, we need to guard our heart. Because ultimately what we put into our mind will affect our worldview and it'll affect everything about us. And Solomon goes on in Proverbs in this chapter, chapter 4, to tell us exactly how to guard our heart. We have to guard, first of all, the input to our heart. So how do you do that? Well, first of all, we can guard our eyes. He talks about that as verse 25. Of chapter 4. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly ahead of you. That's the gist of verse 25. Let your sight look at things that are ahead and keep yourself away from things that would distract you. I know many times when I'm working here at the radio station, I use Facebook as a ministry. I really do. I've chosen to do that. I chose not to use it as just a social media to keep up with people and that kind of thing, although some of that is really good. I've reconnected with people that I met in high school, and all of that's been really good. But that's not my reason for being on Facebook. My reason for being on Facebook and Twitter is so that I may be an influence where people are hibernating, and that's where people are today. They're online. People are in Facebook. They're on Twitter. And they're on many other social media platforms as well. But I've found that when I'm working here at the station and Facebook is open, a new message pops up and it's distracting. I've found that what I have to do is I have to close it so that I can get my work done. Because otherwise, even though it's a good thing that I'm responding to, it causes me to not be able to get my work done. So what we see with our eyes and what we prioritize what we see with our eyes will determine which direction you take. If you look ahead and you see there's danger ahead on the road ahead, you're going to want to change direction. Well, that's what the eyes are all about. The ears will fall much into the same. Even though Solomon doesn't mention it here, the ears are also an input. What you hear is very important. So guard what you hear. That is the reason that Joy Christian Radio is so important, because you guard what you hear. You don't have to worry about listening to things that aren't true or that are trying to convince you of a different worldview from this radio station. We don't do that. We present the hope of the gospel. And then there's the output. And part of this is also input. Proverbs 4:24, backing up one verse. Put away adversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. And next week, the Lord willing, we're going to be talking about the subject of gossip and how bad gossip can be and what it's all about when you talk about things you're not supposed to talk about. Well, that part is output. What you say ultimately determines where you go in life. You say good things and right things and godly things, and God will bless it. You say bad things, evil things, distorted things, and it will trip you up. It will trip you up. And when you fall, it's because what you put out of your mouth was evil. And when you say evil things, it leads you to evil things. And so when you say things that are bad, it causes you to want them to know more. And Proverbs 4:26 talks about our feet. Our feet take us where we're going. Make level those paths so your feet can take the ways that are firm. You don't want to walk on quicksand. That's the general gist of verse 26. Don't swerve to the right or left, and keep your foot away from evil. If your foot gets ensnared in something evil like a bear trap, look where you are. If your foot steps into quicksand, look where you're going. That is what it's about. Watch where you put your feet. Watch the path of your life. When we're tempted to think that nobody's going to know what we're doing, just remember this. Man's ways are in full view of the Lord. He examines all of our paths. That's from Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21. In the Bible, Solomon used the word heart 70 times in the book of Proverbs, 25 times in the book of Ecclesiastes, and 11 times in the Song of Solomon. My favorite heart verse, as I said earlier, is chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, because it is the wellspring of life. I pray that you guard your heart today. Make it a passion in your life to guard your heart. Guard what you see, what you say, what you hear, and what you do. Guard your heart. Let God have full control of your heart and keep it in His care. You are loved with an everlasting love. God loves you enough to die for you even when you were a sinner. We love you too.
Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful.
Treasure, don't give it away. Guard your heart. as a payment for pleasure. It's a high price to pay for a soul that remains sincere with a conscience clear. Guard your heart. The human heart is easily swayed and often betrayed at the hand of emotion. We dare not leave the outcome to chance. We must choose in advance or live with the agony. Such needless tragedy. Guard your heart, guard your heart. Don't trade it for treasure, don't give it away. Guard your heart, guard your heart. As a payment for pleasure, it's a high price to pay. Guard your heart, guard your heart. Don't trade it for treasure, don't give it away. Guard your heart, guard your heart. As a payment for pleasure, it's a high price to pay. For a soul that remains sincere with a conscience clear, guard your heart. For a soul that remains sincere with a conscience clear, guard your heart.